very basis of, first of all, of all of ARSC, and secondly, of all of our collections, and I mean that collectively, is the work that you and we, because I have been known to collect a few things myself, have built as private collections. LC's collection here, I think, is probably the oldest one represented at this table. We began collecting some recordings in the mid-20s. We didn't really begin collecting until well into the 60s. And that's a long block of material that is completely lacking. And even of the material with the copyright law on the side of the Library of Congress to build a collection, there are hundreds, probably thousands of recordings published in the United States which are not coming into the Library of Congress's collection today. So we will be looking to you, working with you, and hopefully contributing to you as well, as to give you back some of the things that you've helped us to be able to organize and make available for posterity. Yes, Richard.
Briefly on that, because I have as I have been learning, apparently a number of your archives collectively and others seemingly have no acquisition budgets. I gather you were talking, Ella, that you're totally dependent on material that comes in as gifts. If you're talking about competing on the level playing field with the paper-oriented parts of your library, I would think that would be one thing that that could be addressed very centrally in a report such as this one.
One aspect that
very important.
One aspect which we feel very acute about, and I'm being told we're out of time very quickly, but I will add, if I may, is that private collectors such as yourself frequently see collections disappear into archives such as the Library of Congress or whatever represented here. And many private collectors are very upset about this, and I agree with you. One of the legal aspects which Barbara made reference to is how can we work with you under the legal restrictions that we are a much higher target to shoot at in many cases. How can we work to see that you as collectors can have access back for this generation and the next and the future of the materials you've helped us build? This is one of the legal questions that we're very concerned and interested in.
Jeremy, have
yes.
I time for one quick comment?
One quick comment and then I'm sorry, I must close.
I recently had the opportunity to help an institution acquire a collection, and in the process was able to write recommendations about that, which included the desirability of reissuing some of that material once they got it in. And we've got a glimmer back from on high that, hey, maybe that would be a good idea. So that's one of the ways in which private collectors can help, I think, if they can help us convince administrations that some of that material ought to come back out as well as disappear in.
The writers of this report, and you see a few of us here, recognize that our expectations of achieving the ambitious plans which we've just set forth may seem overly optimistic. The opportunity to carry out this planning study has convinced us even more than before, however, that preservation of our common heritage of recorded sound requires every action of which we are now capable. The extensive, often intense interest in audio preservation, which we have encountered among those who have written or spoken to us, encourages us to believe that there are others equally willing to devote the necessary effort. We believe, therefore, that by undertaking easily accomplished specific tasks, the necessary interest and impetus for a national, hopefully international, audio preservation program can be established and sustained. The planning study, which you've just heard the tip of the iceberg about, has afforded us the means to gauge the nature and the size of the problem. A number of the component solutions have become apparent, and we've shared some of those with you. It now remains for us to undertake the practical steps open to cooperative work. In the process, mid and long-range priorities and the extent of the resources needed and available will become clearer as we get further into this humongous task, we think. We're convinced that a coordinated, prioritized audio preservation program, which makes maximum effective use of its available resources, can and will come about and can and will succeed. Thank you very much.